Many of you are already in the tradition of knowing that the third Sunday in the month is church lunch, so you're welcome if you're visiting to stay and share with us lunch. An interesting outcome of choices that we make in church. You know, we have Solid Rock meeting here on the second and fourth Saturday night. One of the folk who has been along for a couple of Saturday nights died quite suddenly. And so her family have asked me to conduct that service. One of her sisters is involved in a church. I'm not sure about the other two sisters. So Friday morning, 11 o'clock, if you're sitting down to have a coffee, you might pray, because I've got no idea who's going to turn up and where they stand spiritually. So I would appreciate wisdom as I prepare, but also then on Friday morning as the service is conducted. If we're talking about reaching people, friends, we opened the doors of the church and said, Solid Rock, we would love to have you. And who knows where that's going to lead. But church, we all need to be praying about the outcome of that. Righto, well, the section of scripture that was read to us from John chapter 5, this week we are alongsiders, we are people of love. If we're building the church, well, we need to be reaching out in love towards people. So if you've got your little sheet, as I think most of you have, you can just follow along with that, and hopefully you take it home or whatever you do and think about it during the week. What a silly question for Jesus to ask someone who has been sick for so long. Do you want to be healed? Friends, do you want people to become Christians? Like this bloke, 38 years, and we'll look a bit more later, but 38 years, he'd been there at this pool. Who knows what he'd been hoping, but maybe the hope had disintegrated over the years. Maybe over the years he'd thought, oh, 38 years I've been here. Have you been praying for anyone for 38 years? Have you been hoping and trusting that God would bring about a miracle in a person's life for 38 years? Have you got tired and sick of praying? Have you lost your belief that God can actually change a person? Has God's ability to convert or touch a person's life changed? Do you want to get well? Silly question. Do we want people to become Christians? That might be a silly question. Because the only way a person's going to become a Christian is for God to be at work, and he hasn't stopped. He hasn't stopped working on people's lives. But linked with that is our prayer and our testimony. Who might have fallen down a bit? Getting alongside of people. Getting alongside of people. And showing love in order that they might see the love of God is difficult. So, are you tired of praying for people or thinking about people? Are we in a bit of a rut? Are we in a rut as a church? Have we lost the oomph and the desire to see people become Christian? That's why we exist, hey. It's wonderful for us to be here, but we actually exist in order that we share with other people the love of Jesus. Now, wherever God has put us, and I'm not expecting everyone to head to Cambodia, or even to the other side of the world, or even to the other side of Australia. But we need to recapture, don't we, that God has plonked us in the seniors or the elderly citizens or the op shop or the sporting club or wherever we work as a gift from God that we might be a testimony to Him. Might be the only person that they meet. Yesterday I was at the 4D conference, a Baptist thing, and the guy who was sharing there said that he got into a taxi in Hong Kong and he got in with a Chinese friend. And the taxi driver was Chinese. And from when they got into the taxi to when they got out, the Chinese friend spoke to the Chinese taxi driver all the time. When they got out, the guy who was speaking yesterday said to his Chinese friend, "What were you talking about?" And he said, I was telling him about Jesus. I might be the only Christian he ever meets, and that might be the only opportunity I ever have. Now, I don't want to frighten us or scare us, but sometimes we've taken 3 or 4 steps back and we're not even opening our mouth about Jesus. So maybe we need to just re-establish where we're at. Are we stuck 38 years in a rut and just happy to be there? Let's have a look. What happens in this particular situation? Pardon me, Bethesda, or the place where he is. There's a feast for the Jews in verse 1, and Jesus has gone up to Jerusalem. Righto. There in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, is a pool. In Hebrew, Bethesda, the house of mercy. It's a house of mercy. And I want to ask, friends, like your family, my family, my neighbourhood, because I'm a church person, do they see me as a merciful person, a compassionate person, or a judgmental person? Do they see the church as judgmental? Do we have to change the whole face of who we are? The mercy of God we talk about. And this is the place of mercy, a place of compassion. And who were there? Well, there were people who were blind, invalid, lame, paralysed, all sorts. The thing we haven't got in the Bible is the smell. We haven't got the smell, and we haven't got the emotion of depression that many of those people who have been there for years, nor have we got the family. Oh, who's on the roster to take Grandpa today as they take Grandpa up and plonk him down again? There are lots of things we don't know. And I think we can become quite tired in Christian stuff. Oh, I've been praying for so long for this to happen. Well, I think this story speaks to us. How long do we need to get alongside of someone and pray for them or support them? You know, there are some people in life who will always be sick. We know those people. And we still need to get alongside of them and support them. So we have all of these people in these porticos, you know, like arches, and they were in behind that, just hoping that something would happen. But it was a good time. It was a good time because it was a feast or a celebration in Jerusalem. So people would be coming and, of course, giving money to the poor or to the sick or the invalid. Hey, that was a few credit points, a few brownie points. So this was a good time for this to happen. Now, why didn't Jesus just walk along and go, whoop, and heal all of them? And why did he choose, presumably, an older person who had been there a long time? Why didn't he choose a young person who he could have healed and he could have got on with the rest of his young life, so to speak? We don't know. We don't know. But it just puts the challenge to us. If we're alongside us getting alongside of people, do we sort of, I don't want to get alongside of that sick person again because all I'll hear are their grumps and groans. Don't want to get alongside of that smelly person because I can't cope with that. I don't want to get alongside of that old person. Are we selective about who we think God might be interested in? Well, I'm so glad God isn't selective in who he's interested in. Because right through Scripture, it seems as if God's interested in all ages, all shapes and sizes and sicknesses and outcasts. Everyone is welcome in God's family. And we know that Jesus died for all. So we have a responsibility to not be selective in our telling the story of Jesus. We need to be careful. Have we stopped praying after 38 years? Are we selective? Are we really alongsider? Are we really a person of love? Or are we a person of selection and snobbery? Because that really is what selection is. I won't speak to that person. I will speak to that person. That's really just being a snob, isn't it? So we need to be careful. Now, he asks this bloke, do you want to be healed? And I said that at the start. There's no overriding of the man's free will. And we need to be careful about that too when we're sharing the good news of Jesus. You might have seen on the front of your little folder those two people sitting and having coffee, and someone walking past with a banner saying, you're going to hell. Yeah, that's the heart of personal getting alongside evangelism, isn't it? You know, walking along with a banner like that. No. Really, if possible, should be sitting in having coffee with the people in order to befriend and get to know. A person's will is not overridden. God always gives the opportunity to respond. Now, God might be at work flat out, and we might be at work flat out, but we are not going to dominate or override a person's free will in responding to the love of God. No one put me in the pool, he said. Now, there was the thought that every so often an angel would stir the water in the pool. And the first one in would be healed. Now, the family have perhaps given up on this bloke and they've said, we've done it for so long, we've had it. And so there's no one there to put him in. But the mindset is, this is the only way it can happen. It can only happen by someone taking me here and putting me in. Friends, we need to realise that God doesn't only work in one way. God works in lots of ways. Lots of ways. Let me ask, when you came to know God, was it through someone in your family? Hand up. Right, hand down. Was it through sort of an incident in your life that challenged you? A few people. Right. Was it just something, an awareness of God, and you came to know faith? Faith, right? Just an awareness of God, some people. Right. So even here, and I could go around, and even the awareness of God would all be different and the incidents would all be different. Things would all be very different. So let's not assume that God is always going to work in the same way, and he's not always going to work in the same way with us. So this fellow had his mind set. Friends, let's be careful we don't have a mindset that God can only work in this way. You know, there was a time when the four spiritual laws, a little booklet, was used, and people were trained to use that booklet. But that didn't suit everyone. That didn't suit everyone, and that's okay. It suited some people. But we need to be careful that we are not in the mindset that God can only work in a certain way. God can come in an incredible way and touch someone's life. And in another way, he can just work very quietly. So this fellow thought, well, God can only work in one way. But of course, something incredible is going to happen. The angel isn't going to come and stir. In fact, we don't hear anything more about that situation. But do you want to be healed? No one can put me in the pool. Oh. So Jesus comes along and says, pick up your mat and get up. What? Isn't it interesting? Is it possible in our lives that we've got people that we need to say to, Jesus can do that, but we've avoided saying anything about Jesus because we think, you know, Jesus will just slowly work. Sometimes, now, please, don't go out and say to everyone, you're going to hell unless you believe in Jesus. But sometimes it's appropriate, isn't it, for us to say, God can do something here in your life. Or I'm going to pray that Jesus will do something in your life. And for us to be a bit bold about some of these things. We need to get going. Last year I gave everyone a little card. I'm not going to ask who's still using them, but we put coloured dots on them. Praying for a member of your family, praying for someone, pardon me, who was a neighbour, praying for someone in the workplace. Friends, that's only a year and a half. That's not 38 years. We need to perhaps continue to pray. I look out of my kitchen window or our kitchen window into the neighbour's drive, and he's the person I'm praying for. A couple of interesting encounters, but nothing special, but that hasn't stopped us. He still comes in after his gym session, he's 50 on his bike, and sees me sitting on the veranda having coffee and cake, and looks and laughs, and I say, Jason, you're 50, I'm 75, you have to get there. And he smiles and laughs about that. But I've also told him that I've been praying for his mother. And we'll just see where this leads. So I just want to encourage us all, friends, to not give up on people. I think reading that story that the family had perhaps given up on this bloke. That he had no one to put him in the pool. But that's the way he saw the answer coming. Friends mightn't have any other way of knowing about Jesus except by us. And that's why we're here, to share about Jesus prayerfully and appropriately. Now, of course, there's a reaction. There's a reaction with this situation. The man was cured, picked up his mat and walked. And yes, God does require a response. Being sick or being not on God's side is comfortable for some people. Like this bloke had been there for 38 years. He had a way of life. He had some mates who were there every day with him. He was looked after, I assume, by family and people who gave him money. He had got into a routine, well, this is how it is, and I'm quite comfortable in this situation. There are lots of people who are quite comfortable without God. A lot of people who don't think they have a need for God. So we need to be praying that our friends will be touched by God, have a need for God, and that we're sensitive enough to move in and help them understand. So Jesus just bypasses the normal healing, and we might bypass the normal things in our friend's life and just say, have you ever thought about God in your life? What? Have you ever thought about God in your life? And that might open up some wonderful, wonderful discussion. We are alongsiders. We're alongside with God, helping him, if that's an appropriate way of thinking about it, if God needs help, but he's given us a responsibility, getting alongside of God to help people understand about him, not to turn them off, but to bring them in. So, friends, this week, let's be praying for these friends. Let's not be in a rut. Let's not give up hope. For God is still at work in wonderful ways. His timing isn't ours, because we would like all of our friends and family to have been converted yesterday. But that's not happened. So we need to be faithful in our part. And like Jesus, we sometimes need to challenge people gently, appropriately, about where they stand in order that they might be healed of their spiritual sickness, as it were. We need to bypass the ordinary. And then the last little bit, of course, that Vicky read was that there was a reaction. It didn't happen the normal way. It happened on the wrong day. And who is this man? Well, there'll be reaction in families sometimes when people become Christians. They'll be upset. And that's sad. I always think it's so sad when a teenager becomes a Christian and their family will have nothing to do with them. You know, we've got friends from Allgate. She years ago, 40, 50 years ago, married a Christian. Her mother wouldn't have anything to do with her from that day. Now, wouldn't you think if your daughter married a great guy who's a Christian, you'd be clapping your hands? No. Mum said nothing. And in her will, Mum's died, left everything to the brother and nothing to our friend. Mad. So there'll always be a reaction when people become Christians, and sometimes that's negative. We can cope with that because we're dealing with the things of God. Friends, the encouragement from this is let's get alongside of people. Let's love people. Let's not give up hope on people. Let's count on God being active in the situation. And let's be open for God to do something that is quite out of the ordinary and quite out of our way of thinking. Because, in fact, we're dealing with God. And if he could create us, as weird as each one of us is, well, he can probably do some quite extraordinary things in dealing with other people. So let's not give up hope. We are people of hope, of faith, and of trust. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we pray that you would be building a people of power here. A church of power, of trust, of openness to you. Father, help us to cast aside some of the pathetic thinking that we sometimes have, that, oh, we've been praying too long. Oh, there's no hope for that particular person. Oh, all of that's just rubbish. Let us be people of faith and trust, of perseverance. People who pray on, believing that you are going to change hearts and lives and bring people into your kingdom. Father, do the unexpected. Surprise us. Delight us. Help us to be part of all that's going on in your kingdom. And Father, help us not to be people who hold on to certain ways of doing things or expectations. But Lord, may you have the freedom by your Spirit to not only transform us, but transform those we love. We come before you and ask that in Jesus' name you would answer our prayers as we trust you. Amen.